Dalad Kislev, Monday the 12th of November, Rabbi Don Kaufman. The relationship between Yaakov and his wives.
So, good morning, Rabbi. Before I get to my main topic, if I'm speaking in public, I want to take the opportunity, as I often do, to mention a question to which I have no answer, and maybe somebody else will tell me the answer. A short question. In his dream, Yaakov Avinu is told by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Uforatzto, you spread out, Yomo Vokemo, that's west and east, which is the latitude, but Tzafon Vonegbo, north and south, longitude. And why is it that the similar posuk in Lech Lecha, when HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks to Avraham, it's the other way around? There the posuk says, you will look at the land which I'm going to grant to your children, Tzafon Vonegbo. That's north and south, that's the longitude. The Kedmo v'Yomo, and then comes the latitude, and the other way around. And also, why is Kedmo before Yomo in Lech Lecha? And in Vayetze, it's Yomo v'Kedmo, the other way around. I don't know the answer. Maybe somebody will, at some point, tell me an answer. Let's get to the main subject here. The relationship between Yaakov and the wives. Now, this is not particularly Vayetze's topic. This is throughout, from Vayetze to up to Vayechi. But the story certainly begins in Vayetze when Yaakov meets Rochel, and he says, "I've worked for 7 years to take the hand of Rochel in marriage." It doesn't work out that way. He's given Leah, and later on Leah produces several children. Rochel does not. Later on, next week's Sedra, we learn of Rochel's premature death at birth when Binyamin is born. And over there is also another incident mentioned. That at that point, when Rochel died, Vayelech Reuven, Vayishkav es Bilhah. We'll translate later what this means. He did so. He lay with Bilhah, Pelegesh Oviv. Vayishma Yisrael, that's Yaakov, heard about it. And I think that's how you translate Vayishma, means he heard about it, but we'll see, it's not quite so. And then at that point in the Chumash, there's Piskel Be'emtza Posuk. That means a new paragraph opens in the Sefer Torah, a new paragraph on a new line, and even though it's midway in the Posuk. There's only two or three of these in the whole Torah. There's another one in Devarim. There's possibly, in Pinchas, there's possibly ones to argue about if there is such a one in Devarim as well. And the Rashi comments on this. Why is there a Piskel Be'emtza Posuk? To tell you that the next words, Vayuven Yaakov Shneimos, are 12, means all 12 are absolutely perfect tzaddikim. There was nothing wrong with any of them. So even if you think that Reuven did something inappropriate, Vayishkav is Bilhah, no, it's not so. There was nothing wrong, and they were all 12 equally righteous. We learn the subject comes up again in Vayeshev when Yosef has a dream about the 11, the star and the moon down to him, and Yaakov gives him a rebuke. Your mother's dead already. Rochel's dead. What are you talking about? And the subject comes up again in Vayechi when Yaakov addresses and favors children of Yosef and gives brachas to Reuven and addresses him. That's where the subject appears. But let's explain all this. Most particularly, what happened here with Bilhah? Now, Rashi quotes a Gemara in Shabbos, which says the following. A short statement. Omer Rav Shmuel bar Achmein, Omer Rav Yonason, Kala Omer Reuven Chotor, Ein Ela Toya. Anybody who thinks Reuven did a sin, you're making a mistake. Simple statement. Now, the usual way of explaining this Gemara is that he did something not quite right, Reuven. It's far be from us to criticize. His avera was on his level. It doesn't mean that we can even understand, fathom the level of what he was up to, what he could have done wrong. It's not for us to criticize. It's completely wrong to criticize him. That's the usual way of explaining this. In fact, I once heard this explanation once from Rabbi Miller, Rabbi Monty Miller from Gates, and he added a lovely little morsel to it as well, of a man who was very meticulous in what he did and always paid his debts on time. On the day he paid the money. Money was due, there's money paid. If you don't pay on the day, you're stealing money. And he kept a diary of all the main events of the day. And each day he noted what happened to him in the day. One day he wrote into his diary, hadn't paid his debt on that day. He wrote, "I stole money." Years later, somebody reads the diary. Says, "What? This man, he thinks he's so righteous, he steals money?" But of course, it all depends on who's writing it. From what standard of words you use to him. This was stealing money. That's just a moshel. Now, fair enough. This is the way we usually understand this Gemara. And this is the Musa aspect of it. But Rabbeisai, I'm not going to criticize this interpretation, because as far as the Musa is concerned, it's a valid theme of Musa. Take on the principle, it's not us to criticize those who are so much greater than us. Fine, let's accept that. But Rabbeisai, I'm going to tell you that this is not, definitely not, the pshat of what happened here. Definitely not. For one thing, it's fraught with questions. It simply doesn't work if you don't want to know the facts of what happened. First of all, if this is correct, factually, then the Gemara would say whoever says Reuven Chotto is magzim, is exaggerating, not making a mistake. If you maintain that Reuven did us, not for us to criticize, means he did something wrong, that's not for me to criticize. Then you can't say it's a toyer. You can't call it a mistake to say Reuven criticized. If Reuven did something wrong, but that's not correct. Furthermore, the Gemara goes on and asks a question. The Gemara asks a question that how can you say there's nothing wrong? But it says in the pasuk Vayishkav, Vayu v'nei Yaakov shnei Mosa, Milam shekona shkula. They did nothing. They were all equally good. Nothing wrong. Then the Gemara asks a question. Excuse me, but it says Vayishkav is Bilhah. He lay with Bilhah. Bilhah was his stepmother. Aish is Aviv. That's not allowed. How can you say he did nothing wrong? The Gemara's question. So the Gemara answers, okay, Bilbil Yitzui Aviv. Confused the couch of his father. And what? And that's not wrong? So what does it mean? How can you say he did nothing wrong? Furthermore, the Gemara goes on to make a statement, Oma Tanya, the Braise, the Shimon ben Loza Omer, Mutzlani Oysa Tzadik. This Tzadik is safe from ever doing anything wrong. Don't think he's done anything wrong. From Me'oisei Ovoin. Now watch the word, Ovoin. And Ovoin means an avera done on purpose, but b'mezid. Before we were talking about Reuven Chotto, the Rashoigeg. So that's what the Gemara says. V'lebo Masa Zebayot. No. He did never do such a thing as to lie with Bilhah, his stepmother. How could he be, says the Gemara? Is it possible? If his children are going to stand on Har Eivol and they're going to hear the Kohenim call out, Olu Shoichev im Eishes Oviv. And he's going to do this avera. He knows that in public they'll be cursed for doing something like this. How could it be? He could never done such a thing, says the Gemara. So, Elamani Mekayim. So, what do you think it means, Vayishkav is Bilhah? What does it mean? What does Vayishkav mean? Says the Gemara, it means Elboin Imoy Tova. He claimed, he stood up for the rights of his mother, says the Gemara. What did he say? He said to his father, look, Rochel died. We understand. Rochel was a favorite. He chose to marry Rochel, not Leah. Fine. So that means, the Ramban points this out later on, that Yaakov maintained his home with Rochel. That was his chosen wife. He paid visits so often to each of the others. But where was his base? His base was with Rochel. And when Rochel died, he moved over to Bilhah. So along came Reuven and said, Is that right? It's, if one thing is that Rochel was chosen over Leah because she was the first wife, and Leah was the what's called the tzora, the competitor for attention, second in line. But if, when Rochel is no longer there, you bypass Leah and go to Bilhah, the maidservant. That's an offence to my mother. And the Ramban says on the spot there, it was a major offence. That means. If someone finds it in society, in wherever it may be, work and shul and society and friends and whatever, that I'm not number one, I'm number two. All right, I'm not. Accept that. But when number one is no longer there, you bypass myself and go to number three, that's an offence that nobody can tolerate. That sort of offence is very serious. And that's what happened to Leah. And Reuven stood up for her. What's this? What do we? El benim tova. And therefore what? He then confused the situation. In which way did he confuse it? And the Gemara concludes that Yaakov objected and he said, "Os chilalto, you profaned Yitzui Olah." What profaning are you talking about here? And what does the word Allah mean? The word Allah is very hard to translate. The passage in Vayechi, when Yaakov addressed Reuven, he rebuked him. And he said to him, Os chilalto yutsu, you profane my bed, Allah. What does Allah mean? In this sentence, it went up. What does this mean? So I'm going to give you a run right through this parsha, which is not written any one place. I've taken it from a collection of Mefarshim, that means mostly from Ramban and Or HaChaim, in various places, and put together a picture. Because Or HaChaim and Ramban always work together. So you build up a picture when you learn these two in Vayetze, in Vayishlach, in Vayeshev, and in Vayechi. So let's start the story from the beginning. When Yaakov meets Rochel at the well, he says, supposedly he says, Vayev Yaakov is Rochel. He loved her and he wanted her. Vayomin, he said, Evotcho Sheva Shon Broch Bitpaktano. Now, the word Evotcho, by the way, is a word that comes only once in the whole of Tanakh. So it can be hard to translate, know exactly what it means. But we don't have another example. But we have similar words. But this word comes only once in Tanakh. Only one place. This is the one place where you find this word. Those who are sensitive to grammar will know this is not a future tense verb. It does not mean I will work. If it did, then it would say avoidcho. I will work for you. Avotcho is something else. This is a qualitative, or something called suggestive. The translation of avotcho means let me work for her. Let me work. That means to say, Lavan did not place a price on his daughter's head. He wanted her hand in marriage. 7 years of work before you take her. It's not the case. He did not say that. Yaakov suggested, I want to work 7 years for her. Why? He hadn't even asked for it. Why? Who gives away something for nothing? So the in the Sephora you'll find it referred to, and in Ksava Kabbalah it talks it out in full, that Rochel at this stage, when she came as a shepherdess to the well, was 5 years old. As such, she was Ruya Lebion, she could get married. But not Ruya Lehoit, she could not conceive and give birth. And Yaakov did not want to marry her until the time that she's ready to give birth. He said, no, I want to work 7 years for her. So let us now agree what we call an engagement. The marriage, the shidduch has agreed. Wait 7 years for the marriage. Why? The answer to that you'll find in Rashi, in Vayechi. When Yaakov Avinu, at the end of his life, addressed Reuven, he said to him, Reuven, b'chori ata. You are my firstborn. Why did he say that? There's no question about that. Kohi Vroshes own. You are my strength. You're the first strength I ever had. And Rashi explains this means that Reuven was conceived on the first night of marriage, and there was a tremendous feat of self-control. We can't even conceive this. And at age 84, when Yaakov got married, it was Tipur Rishona. It never wasted anything on before. He wanted, and he did this, and he wanted it that way. He knew it was going to be that way. Hence, he said to Lavan, please, allow me 7 years, because I don't want to be married to her until she can conceive, because I want my Bechor to be born from the tip of the Shoino. That's the elevated view of Yaakov Avinu. Hence, he said, please let me wait. Now, events didn't turn out that way, because he was cheated, and he was given Leah. And the Pasuk says, Vahiva boik, Vahiva erev, Vahikach Leah bitoy. Lavan took bit Leah. Vahitin Lavan lo, Vahiva boik. In the morning, oh, Vahi. The word Vahi means oh, something. I want to startle you. Vahi, and so it was. Vahinei he Leah, and behold, it's Leah. The whole story and history hinges around this word Vahinei. Vahinei he Leah. He got a shock. This is Leah. So now I've delivered Tippur Rishono to Leah. I had thought I was going to deliver this to Rochel. Terrible shock to him. But much more than that, something else was here. There's a Gemara in the Dorim, which is quoted Lahalocha, in Shulchan Aruch, Sim Reish Mem, Hilchos. Says the Gemara there, in the Dorim, Lo Yishta Od B'Kos Zeh. You should not, so to say, drink from one cup, V'Yitan Einov, Bekois Achen, and put his eyes, set his eyes on another cup. Vafilu shtein noshov. even if you're talking about both are his wives, he should not be with one and thinking of another. And here, inadvertently, no fault of his own, that is, this is what happened. V'hinei hileo means he thought that night he was married to Rachel. V'hinei, behold, whoa! This is Leah. So all night, when he conceived his bachur, fathered his bachur, he thought he was doing so with Leah, Rachel, and thinking about Rachel. And it wasn't, it was Leah. So he'd committed this Gemara inadvertently. It was no fault of his own. So it was. Now, we move on to the story of Rachel died at birth. Rachel was the prime wife. And Leah knew her position as second. And you know that clearly from the words she spoke. What did Leah say when she gave birth to her first child? Ki omara, ki ro Hashem ba'oni. Hashem sees my affliction, that I'm not really wanted, I'm not loved. Ki ato, now I've given him a son, yehavani ishi, my husband will love me. Second, Shimon. Ki shoma, ki sino onoichi, I'm detested. Ve'itami gamazer, she called him Shimon. Levi, what did she say? Apam, you love Ish. Now my husband will accompany me. I'm getting a little bit better. I've already given him three sons. It's getting improving. But I am not really desired over here. And she accepted that. But when Rachel died, and Yaakov passed on to Leah, bypassed her to go to Bilhah, then Reuven stood up and protested. Elvin Imoy Tova, what is this? And you know, Reuven was absolutely right. Ramban says this is an unacceptable offense. And he was right. So the question is, and if Reuven's right, why didn't Yaakov do it? did he not understand this? It's fairly simple. So if you look at Or HaChaim in Vayechi, he says there's a calculation going on here. Yaakovinu very much had lost his beloved wife. He's not going to forget this between today and tomorrow. So he had other wives waiting for him. He couldn't just say, I'm not married anymore. I'll wait a year till I get married again. He had the wives waiting for him. So he said, what? I should now go and make my home and live with Leah. That's contravening this Gemara. Because I will inevitably think about Rachel. I can't not think about her. Impossible. That beyond my koichus, even Yaakov Vinu had tremendous self-control, we know that. Tipper is showing now after 84 years. This I can't do. That I should go and be with Leah and not think about Rachel. Impossible. Therefore he bypassed Leah and went to Bilhah. Then you ask him, why Bilhah? Why is there a problem with Bilhah? Because Bilhah was a different category. Bilhah was not sorrowed to Rachel. Bilhah was with Rachel. How do we know that? Because the Pasuk says that unlike when Leah introduced Zilpah, when Rachel introduced Bilhah, she said, V'seled al birkai, v'ibuneg amonoichi. If she has children, I have children. We are one. And when Bilhah gave birth, first to Dan, later on to Naphtali, Rachel spoke, and she said, "Naftulei Elohim niftalti." And there's a long, complicated Rashi there, very, very sophisticated grammar Rashi. But the gist of it is, Naftali, says Rashi, is related to the word pasil, a cord. A cord means we take various separate strands, twist them till they are firmly intertwined into one. So I'm intertwined with Hashem and intertwined with my sister. Naftulei Elohim niftalti machoisi. I intertwined with my sister. I'm with my sister. We're one. And therefore, Bilhah was very close and as one with Rachel. And there was no concurrence. There was no competition. Rachel was quite content if Bilhah got attention. Bilhah was content if Rachel got attention. And therefore, there was no breaching of this Gemara of Lo Yishter. And therefore, he went to Bilhah. That's the pshat. Or HaChaim says that. Now comes the next question. So if Yaakov was correct in this calculation, what about Reuven? Reuven hadn't done Golan Adorim. He hadn't done Mesechus Adorim yet. He didn't know this Gemara. That can't be either. So the Ur HaChaim also explains. It goes back in history. So what happened? Yaakov got married. He thought he was marrying Rachel. He woke up next morning and realized, hey, it's Leah. And he had breached this Gemara. This statement. Leishta Odom. Says Ur HaChaim, the child that was conceived that night, Reuven, was nifgam b'chelek ra. Those are the words of the Ur HaChaim. His neshama was damaged. In a certain area. That being, he was not sensitive. He was nifpogum in understanding the refineness of being solid and trustworthy in marriage and not having thoughts about one another, not mixing things up. That part of his neshama was such that that's something he could not understand. Therefore, Reuven stood up and complained very loudly about the treatment of his mother, Leah. And he was right. He was right in as much as the Ur HaChaim says, it was an impossibility to do otherwise. His mind, his neshama, did not understand anything else. He could not. Hence we understand Pshat in the Gemara. If Reuven had been by Yishkav as Bilhah, he had a relationship with Bilhah, that was an ovoid. The Gemara says, that ovoid he never did, and he didn't. What did he do? So the Hamad Gover says, look at the grammar, by Yishkav. By Yishkav is an ordinary verb, he lay. But if you say by Yishkav, you can't say S. Then you have to say, Vayashkev Esbil, he did something with Bilhah. But the S means with, next to. So what does this mean? So the Hamad Gover says, what actually happened was this. He lay down on his own bed, in the area, in the room, the place where Bilhah was. This prevented Yaakov from approaching Bilhah. That's what it means. By Yishkav es Bilhah. So Reuven did this, as Ur HaChaim would explain, because it was not possible to do otherwise. It's not as if he could have strengthened himself and controlled himself and done better. A chait means an ashoigig. A ashoigig means, if I would have tried harder, I would have prevented it from happening. I made a mistake, I forgot. But if it wasn't beyond, if it wasn't within you to do something, you can't call it a chait. They did something wrong, even by mistake. You're making a mistake. It's not true. He did nothing wrong, because he could not do otherwise. His neshama was such, he could not see and understand anything different. That's what happened to Gemara. So the Gemara said, Kasha, oh, but you said by Yishkav. Ah, Bilbil. What does Bilbil mean? Bilbil means, the Ur HaChaim explains this as well, that it says in the Pasuk, Vayishkav es Bilhah, Pelegesh Aviv, Vayishma Yisrael. We usually try and say Vayishma, he heard about this. No, not quite. Vayishma means he listened. Shalom usually means to listen. Meaning, Reuven made plenty of noise about his complaint. And Reuven and Yaakov knew about it. And he thought, maybe. He listened to him. And he went and moved back from Bilhah to Leah. He said, look, he's complaining. So apparently, Kodesh Baruch wants me to be very careful. So I will live with Leah, but I'll control myself. But he couldn't. And he didn't. And what happened? He thought about Rachel. Bilbil. That's what happened to Bilbil. Confused things. That's a Bilbil. Now, had he stayed with Bilhah, it would have been different. There would be no Bilbil. And not only Yaakov understood it that way, in Shemayim they gave approval to this. How do you know? Because Rashi says in Vayeshev, when Yosef had a dream about Hayoreach, Shemesh Vayoreach, Uchrat Ochso Koichavim, and the Neven Sar is bowing down to me. So Yaakov gave him a telling off, and he said to him, what's this? Havoy Novoy, Aniv Imcha V'Achecho, Are your mother going to bow down to your mother's not alive anymore? So it's nonsense what you're dreaming about. Forget it. Says Rashi from the Medrash, but Yaakov got it wrong. He hadn't realized Bilhah is his mother. The dream it was sent from Shemayim was correct. Because in Shemayim they believed Bilhah was his mother. That was a different relationship. Now, what was the result of all this? Yaakov understood. The Shekhinah is always with him, by his bed. But this time he wasn't. Because where there's been the Bilbeil, the Shekhinah departs. And it departs, as Yaakovina will say, that is a Chilul Hashem. A Chilul Hashem, Hashem's not there. Profaned Hashem's name, Hashem's presence. And so in Parshas Vayechi, we find Yaakov draws in Yosef and says, the family of Menashe, you get each a piece of land in Eretz Yisrael. I'll treat you as a Bechor. Then he turns around and says to Reuven, Pachas Kamayim Al Toisa. You rush forward uncontrollably. Because you came with an argument. You made a lot of noise about it. Like the water does when it rushes. He didn't understand enough. And, Kioliso Mishkevei Ovicho. You approached my bed. Oz, at that time, not any other time, that one occasion, when I was so depressed, because I'd lost Rochel, and I felt forced to go to live with Leah. Chilalto Yitzui, you profaned my bed because you took the Shekhinah away from my bed. Oh Lord, that which normally goes up on my bed, every other time the Shekhinah was there. This time it wasn't. And he took great offense to losing the Shekhinah, and he punished Reuven for it. In what? In that Reuven had to give back the Bechor to Yosef, which was what was intended. The older son of Rochel should be the Bechor. And he had two sons taking over, replacing him. Therefore, he took the Bechor. He got two pieces of land in Eretz Yisrael, which would otherwise have gone to Reuven. Because it should have been that way in the first place. I think I'll end there. Or perhaps just one more point. In the end, Reuven did no aver at all. And yet he did tshuva. And Pashas Ayeshvit says, Yoshe Uven alaboyer, he came back. Coming back from where? Sakeh v'tanisa, he was involved, engrossed in tshuva. And the Gemara says in the Sota, Yehuda observed Reuven doing tshuva. Yehuda read the map correctly. He'd done nothing wrong, Reuven. He's still doing tshuva. So I must do tshuva now, he said, for what I did with Tomor. And as a result of that, Reuven is credited with instigating tshuva for Yehuda. And therefore, Yehuda took over the malchus, which Reuven otherwise would have had. That's the connection. And there's a medrash which says the following. Medrash Rabbah in Vayeshev.
Only like Kodesh Baruch Hu, Me'olam Lechotah Odom. It's never happened the person's done a sin, Lefonai, that has not done a sin, and nevertheless does tshuva, and you did so. Chayecho Shebonecho will do the same. Who is that? Hoshea. Hoshea said, Shuv Yisrael Hashem Lekecho. Did Hoshea do an avera? No. But he's doing tshuva. He's arousing people to tshuva. That's what happened. There was no avera. Toya. Anybody says that they did an avera, Toya is a mistake. And nevertheless, he did tshuva. That's the tzitzkas of these people.